Hello, everyone. This is Don Jorgler, and welcome to the Insuring Cannabis Podcast, a bi-monthly trip into the intersection of two industries that couldn't be more different. As I just indicated in my little running tagline, cannabis and insurance is an interesting, if not highly complex, space. Insurance for cannabis operations can also be expensive, hard to obtain, and full of exclusions, as we've mentioned on this podcast ad nauseum. Multiply all the above for tribal cannabis operations, a unique and interesting space in and of itself. There are already numerous tribes across the nation participating on some level in the green rush, and that interest is likely to grow along with the growing pace of interest in cannabis nationally. In California, for example, the nation's largest cannabis market, a 2019 report shows 35 out of the 109 federally recognized tribes in the state were operating enterprises in the legal cannabis industry or developing plans for economic development in the cannabis industry. Nationally, 90 tribes out of 573 federally recognized tribes were developing or engaged in legal cannabis and hemp commerce. That's according to a report from the California Native American Cannabis Association. That same report calls out some regulatory barriers, specifically regulations that treat tribal nations as business entities rather than sovereign governments. We'll get into that more in a bit. But the bottom line is, there's interest from tribes in cannabis and a heck of a lot of room for growth. I spoke with the folks at Santa Isabel Botanical Facility to find out what buying insurance for tribal cannabis operations is like. It's been challenging and costly, to say the least.
As gently as I can put this, it's all high, you know? And, when someone buys a car, they think about the car payment and they think less about the insurance payment. But sometimes the insurance payment is just as much as the car payment, you know? It's all high. I can tell you what stands out for me usually is going to be the liability, the general liability. And then with our dispensary, having the product liability, you know, to make sure that, you know, the product we're selling, if someone gets sick, that we're covered under that as well. So those two things stand out to me when I think about, you know, the ancillary cost of what it all adds up to.
That was James Bucherot, general manager at Santa Isabel. Santa Isabel is a cannabis campus located on roughly 30 acres in the mountains around San Diego County. The operation includes three cultivators, a large-scale greenhouse, four microbusinesses, and a dispensary doing more than $1 million in annual sales. There are over 20 employees working at the operation. Despite the insurance and regulatory hurdles, Bucherot believes they're building something worthwhile and that other tribes are taking an interest in what they're doing.
You know, we're trying to build a commerce amongst other California tribes that can, you know, we can share resources on. You know, so some tribes have dispensaries. Some tribes do have, they're offering cultivation opportunities. And then other tribes have like a campus like us at Santa Isabel, where we offer, people to manufacture and cultivate. And then we also have the retail storefront. And so, the market is small, but I think tribes are starting to see that cannabis might be the next, wave of, tribal revenues, the next economic driver, a lot like what casino was numerous years back. And so now we're starting to see some tribes slowly pop up into the industry.
The person helping Santa Isabel navigate this difficult insurance market is John Balian, a vice president with Wood, Gutman, and Bogart Insurance Brokers and director of the firm's cannabis industry practice. As with other cannabis operations, capacity is a big driver of the insurance difficulties for Santa Isabel. Price, availability, headaches. A lack of capacity is an issue in general for cannabis. It's far worse for tribal cannabis businesses, many of which Balian estimates may be paying as much as 50% or more on policies than other cannabis operations.
There's definitely, as you point out, a small community of carriers that will write cannabis risks in general. I think you can probably take that in half for tribal cannabis. One of the larger tribal insurers, or excuse me, one of the larger cannabis insurers will not write any tribal related cannabis industries. So that takes out one of the big players. There are probably four or five cannabis insurers that will write tribal business without requiring a waiver of tribal sovereignty. And there's at least two carriers that I can think of that will write workers' compensation for cannabis industries on tribal land.
One of the big insurers that dominates the market is Tribal First, a specialized program of Alliant Underwriting Solutions. Tribal First is considered the largest provider of insurance solutions to Native America.
I think an important point to make is this relates to Tribal First. And Tribal First, for those in the tribal insurance industry, is the predominant player. They write probably 95% of all the tribes and 90% of all the tribal enterprises throughout the United States. They will offer some coverage to tribal cannabis operations, but it's fairly limited. So what we normally try to do is start with Tribal First, have them write what they're comfortable with, and then backfill in through the surplus lines markets those cannabis exposures that Tribal First will not.
It's not that Tribal First is uninterested in insuring cannabis operations. They actually offer a surprisingly large variety of coverages.
Tribal First will write the most of the property insurance for tribal cannabis businesses, with the exception of crop insurance. They won't, and crop insurance in general is a tough write for the cannabis industry, but Tribal First won't touch that at all. They tend to shy away from the smaller cannabis property risks, and will only write larger ones if they're part of overall tribal property insurance. So the cannabis operation has to be part of the balance of the tribe's operations or facilities. Tribal First, from a workers' comp standpoint, will consider all phases of the tribal cannabis industry. And from the general liability, they do not want to do products liability for cannabis risks, which is probably one of the bigger exposures that the cannabis industry faces. They will write hemp coverage, products liability for hemp. And as far as the retail operations, they're very concerned about security guard exposure and underwrites that pretty tightly. One other thing about Tribal First is that it has to be 100% tribally owned, and it has to be 100% on tribal land. So where you have a non-tribal entity operation on tribal land, that's not something that Tribal First will consider.
As we've already mentioned, a big reason for the lack of insurance and the high cost of policies is the lack of carriers that are into cannabis. Particularly lacking are those that will write policies for tribal cannabis businesses. To truly understand why it's so difficult for operations like Santa Isabel, we need to get into the subject of tribal sovereignty.
Well, the sovereignty, it's a whole different legal arena, but basically tribes are considered independent nations, and they're not subject to the laws of the state of California. They are federally regulated, but they have their own laws, their own courts, their own constitution, their own bylaws. And there have been times where tribes have raised tribal sovereignty. For instance, in the lending industry, tribes are getting into the short-term consumer loan industry because they're not subject to a lot of the state regulations that other lenders are. So the concern that a lot of insurers have is that the tribes will raise tribal sovereignty as a defense in a claims dispute, in a premium audit dispute, any kind of collections dispute. So the insurers that will are thinking about insuring a tribal risk normally want the tribe to waive their sovereignty. And tribes are very, very, very reticent to do that. They see that as a slippery slope to waive that sovereignty. There have been times that I've seen where if a tribe absolutely needed to get an insurance policy done or a premium finance contract done, that they would waive their sovereignty, but it has to be very narrowly defined, and it's absolutely something they don't want to do.
I asked Balian to describe his process for finding insurance for tribal cannabis operations.
Well, my normal process is to start with Tribal First. I've been a big fan of Tribal First for over 20 years. I think they're an absolutely fantastic company. Their policy forms are the best around. They're very easy to work with. They have superior claims and loss control services, and their underwriters are very knowledgeable. So I start with Tribal First if I can find a 100% tribal risk and try to get them to put up terms or consider it up to their comfort level. And then, so that requires a knowledge of Tribal First and a good relationship with them. Then I use my knowledge of the surplus line markets and what they're offering. And as you know, Don, that's a continually changing landscape as to, you know, which carriers in the surplus line markets are, what they're writing and what their appetite is. But then I use our knowledge of that marketplace and try to fill in the gaps using those carriers over and above what Tribal First will write. Now, for those entities, those operations that are not 100% tribal or on tribal land, just Tribal First is just not going to play in that arena. So we start through the same marketing approach that, you know, frankly, any good broker would do.
In the insurance business, as most of our listeners know, going out and finding a policy to insure a customer's particular risk is far more complex than it sounds. There's always a catch, something the carrier will or won't insure, a problem unique to a client that a broker needs to deal with or find a way around. With Santa Isabel, a big problem besides lack of available insurance is that the operation happens to be located in a high brush fire area. That's on top of numerous hurdles that Balian has had to help the operation navigate. In a world where an insurance buyer is nowhere near being in the catbird seat, dealing with problems often comes down to money, doesn't it? Insurance across the board is expensive for Santa Isabel, and their property policy is a big, fat pain point that's only gotten worse in the last few years as insurers have begun to pull back from writing policies for properties in California's wildfire-prone areas.
The premium for it was, say, $100,000 2 years ago. And for that, they were getting, I think, $10 or $11 million worth of coverage. Because of the hardening of the property marketplace in general and the location of where they are, that it's, even though they have a great fire department and so forth, but because they're in a high brush area, that same $100,000 only bought them $2.5 million of coverage, which was, 25% of what they had coverage the year before. So $2.5 million versus $10 million of coverage. For the same $100,000 of premium, they got 25% of the coverage that they had had. And that was a tough sell.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insuring Cannabis Podcast. You can find other episodes from this series by visiting insurancejournal.tv. Until next time, I'm Don Jurgler.